poems and songs and a whole lot of sermons have been preached on that one line, the hem or the border of his garment. And she was not trying to touch just anybody. She had somebody special in mind, and that was our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. This story is about a woman that had a whole lot of trouble. And it is relevant to us today because, we have a whole lot of trouble. Some trouble is one way and some is another way, but trouble is trouble, no matter how you call it or what you call it. It all basically can boil down to just one little three-letter word. Sin is the result or is the cause of all the trouble that we have in this world. I've even seen people with shirts on says, "Here comes trouble," as if they're boasting about being a problem to somebody. Some did it humorously, just being funny. But this lady had a problem in her life. And let me ask a question that you do not need to answer. Is there anybody in here that have not had trouble in your life? You blessed thing. Because all of us have had or will have trouble in our lives in some form. This lady's trouble was in the form of sickness, but she had trouble. Your trouble may not be sickness, maybe a wayward child, maybe a wayward husband or a wayward wife, or just may be that you can't find a job. Just may be that no matter what you do, nothing seemed to ever go right. Have you ever tried to boil water and it seemed like the stove wouldn't come on? Or it took the water longer to boil? We can decide on whatever our trouble is. What's your trouble today may not be your trouble tomorrow. Whatever your trouble is, give it to Jesus. I think I just have 4 or 5 points. Point number one, a woman of desperation. You can see that in verse 43. And the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, and none of them could heal. She was not healed of any. This woman was desperate, had gotten to the place where she couldn't afford to go to see a physician because she had spent all of her income. And you have to understand that the Jewish nation, sickness, was a hindrance to you doing almost anything else. This lady had a problem, and you can see it all in verse 43. She had a disease that was incurable. The sickness, the Bible doesn't tell us what it was, but it was something that could not be healed by all the doctors that she had been going to. To me, it was now day and time, would have been given the antibiotics, different vaccines, and none of them seem to work. They may have an idea what the problem is, but they don't know what the solution is. Nobody could find an answer to her problem. this woman was ceremonial unclean, meaning that as you come in service today, she could not come into the temple. And to Jews, that was a horrible thing. Now don't y'all get angry with me, but just think about her uncleanness in our day and time would be sin. If everybody in here that had to was able to walk in, you would have to have no sin in your life. I wonder how many of us would be in here today. Brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you that sin is an incurable disease. You can go to any other doctor you want to. They can't heal you. They can't take away the sickness that you have. She was ceremonially unclean. She was physically desperate because her health was gone. Brothers and sisters, you can buy a lot of things at Walmart. Yeah, a Target, Big Lots, but you can't buy health. This lady's health had her sickness had taken it away from her. And she was desperate because she knew, just like we know, what our sickness is, what our special form of sickness is. Maybe lying, maybe backbiting, maybe causing trouble, maybe being a deceitful person. No matter what our sickness is, the doctor can't cure it because it's an incurable disease. You have to know what your doctor specializes in. Then she was spiritually desperate because I told you earlier she couldn't go into the temple. And sometimes I think about me, and I think about when I read and study about the faith and the trust that the Jews had in the temple. I said, God, give me that kind of faith, not in the temple, but in you. To believe that whatever is wrong with me, whatever seems to get in my way, I can come to you and everything will be all right because you are my Father and you're going to take care of me. She was spiritually drained. It hurt her because she could not come into the temple of God. She knew the value that she had placed on being able to come to the house of God. God's all right. But we have to know that we can be spiritually dead because we have not allowed Christ to come into our life and make a difference. And then all of this pictured her and separated her from God. She was desperate because to her, she could not get in the presence of God. She was moving, but she was moving slow. Going places, and I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us what she had, but people knew that she had a sickness. In this town here that we live in called Crestview, as to some of us, it's big now. But if you get a sickness, more people are going to know that you're sick than you think that know that you're sick. Because there's something about it when you get sick. It just seems to just mess with you. And you don't have to tell anybody. It doesn't mean you don't want people to know. But somebody gonna know that you don't know that they know. Somebody gonna know. And this sickness will stop you from doing some things that you think that you ought to do. When you can't come to where you think in your mind God is, you feel like you are separated from all the people. Of part, you are away from Christ. All of us, physically, every day of our lives, are moving closer and closer to this thing that we call death. No matter how young or how old you are, you are physically are another day closer to your departure time. Not trying to scare anybody, but physically, that's just the way it is. We're moving towards that. Some things I said earlier that your money cannot purchase for you. And I know some of us would love to have that problem with money, have enough of it to buy anything we want except health. But the most important thing in life is not health, it's not money, it's the spirituality part of our lives. We need to come closer to God. That's the one thing that was missing in this woman's life. And she went seeking after that because, brothers and sisters, don't nobody know your bank account from the spiritual side but you. The rest of us got to guess about it. We don't know. We just know what you display to us according to the way we understand this scripture. And somewhere in the Bible it tells us, should one man judge another man's slave? That means, in my language, it ain't none of my business how your spiritual life is with God as far as me knowing. I just need to live my part in showing you, as much as I understand this gospel, how you ought to live. When you do that, you're telling somebody about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. When we come to Christ from the spiritual side, he will take our sin away from us. And that way he will bring us back to him where we need to be. Excuse me. Point number two, she was a woman of determination. Look at verse 44. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Didn't come face to face with it. Yeah, came from the rear. Everybody think you ought to just be bold and walk out and just in front of God and everybody else. But there's sometime you need to come in the back door. I say that and I thought about an incident in my life and I get back to this and 1987, I think it was. I was expiring for an administration position in the school system, and I got a phone call on my job I had, and from a principal, and he said, "You turned in an application for the assistant principal?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What are you doing about 3:30?" I said, What do I need to be doing? He said, can you come to see me? I said, yeah. He said, okay. He said, park your vehicle in the front. He said, and walk around to the back of the building. And he said that the second door that you come to will be unlocked, so come in that door. I parked my vehicle in the front of the school, got out, walked all the way around to the back, and there were parking spots on the back. I walked all the way to the back, walked in that second door, and walked to his office. I said that to say this, but when I walked out the front door, I had the job. Sometime you got to do something. I don't know whether he intended to do that or whether he did it for that reason, but the problem was because school was just out and you got some rabble-rousers that are hanging in the building if they know it's unlocked. But the point is this woman and y'all get up. You five right there, get up. Come together right there in the middle. Come together right there in the middle. Turn around. Walk up to the bench, up to the pew. Walk on up. Now, the crowd was pressed, meaning it's a lot of people. Jesus had his entourage, had his bodyguard, had his armor bearers, the disciples. They were all around him. And this woman, and this is what bothers me. Y'all ain't gonna get tired of standing up here, but this woman, this bothers me. It says she touched the hem of his garment. And in order for her to touch the hem of his garment, she had to get down. She had to lower herself to get down to touch the hem of his garment. Y'all still not like I want you to be. Y'all like you're scared of me. the crowd was pressed. And this woman come up behind Jesus and touched the hem. Now, which one of you three did I touch? But see, when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he felt the virtue come out of him. I touched Deacon Jernigan. I didn't touch these two. But he felt it, y'all. The point that I'm is that me? That bothers me. I'll get back up here. Okay, y'all can take your seat. She touched him and she had to get down where his garment was, and she touched it and he felt what went out of him. Because when she touched him, what she had was not supposed to be inside of him. So the virtue in him came out of him to take care of what was inside of her. What do you mean? The sin that's in you, when you touch Jesus, then it takes it away. But you got to do something. If she would have stayed with everybody else and walked along with everybody else, she would not have gotten healed. God puts things in his word that if we stay where we are, we'll miss it. Brothers and sisters, she had to lower herself other than walking in the middle of the crowd. She had to get down so she could touch. She just believed. She trusted in that. She had heard something about this man called Jesus. She was a woman of determination. She just kept going on and on and on. She came behind him and had an issue of blood.
This means that she was constantly bleeding. It was constantly come somewhere. But Jesus, if he can make the ocean, the sea, jail so he can walk on it, if he can speak to the wind and the wind stop, he got to have something, y'all, to make us understand that he's God. There's not anything that he cannot do if we align ourselves with his word. This woman, she was a woman of determination because she would not give up. She would not quit. Although nobody might not want to be around me. They might can smell me before I get there. But there's one person that I know, that I believe, that I've heard about. And they tell me he's coming to town. I need to get myself in the way so I can at least. And she knew what everybody had thought about her. But she did not let her condition discourage her. So many times we're so easily to get discouraged. Sister Tony, I thought you might quit when you got off key or something got messed up in the song. Standing here looking at them out there, the rest of them thought, says, well, what's wrong with her now? But you didn't get discouraged. You said, let's start it over again. That's what we prayed about over there in the place. That because we're working for God and it seemed like nothing is going right, don't get discouraged. Stay focused and work with God. Work with what God has given you. This woman did not get discouraged. She kept going. She knew her condition. And you got to know that where you are is not where you ought to be. She had this sickness and she wanted to get rid of it. She knew that if she came to Jesus in her spirit, everything would be all right. Sometimes we look at the crowd and the people surrounding us and we allow it to discourage us. I stop by to tell you, don't let it happen. The attitude of some of the people around where you're going might not be the best in the world. Don't let it discourage you. Look at the end of where you intend to be. Brothers and sisters, I don't intend to be in this body, in a physical body, with pain the rest of my life. Because if I live down here in pain when I die, I don't expect to have pain when I get there. Because of who I'm trusting in, and he's going to take care of it all. This lady knew that from what she had heard about this man called Jesus, if I could just get to him, everything would be all right. And she would not allow the stuff in front of her to stop her. Sometimes you got to go when it looks like there's no way out. Look like every turn you take, there's a roadblock in the way. Have you ever been traveling and you detoured one time and thought you wasn't going to have to detour no more? Every street you turn on, they had a detour sign on it. That's the way it is in life sometimes, especially when you start trying to live for God. The devil would throw up roadblocks that you thought were not even there. You have to have had an encounter with Jesus. If you have an encounter with Jesus, everything will be all right. She kept going. And when you read the episode of it in Mark, she kept saying to herself, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment. She didn't just say it one time. She kept saying it in a spirit. When you read it and you read it and you understand the Greek, when it says they said something, they said it. That means they said it and they said it and they said it and they said it and they said it. They had to get it in their spirit. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever thing ye desire, when you pray, pray believing and expecting God. And God will provide just what you need. You got to be determined. You got to make up your mind that God is the answer to whatever you're looking for. Point number three, she was a woman of deliverance. She was expecting to be delivered. Oh, Lord, Thank you, Lord. Her deliverance came because she came in contact with Jesus. You can't meet Jesus and stay the same. When you meet Jesus, he will change your life. If I can but just touch the hem of his garment. This woman was in a crowd of people, and some of them, most of them, was following Jesus. And she was, as far as history tells us in this episode, she was the only somebody in the crowd that was not healthy. Everybody else was healthier, but she was unhealthier. But when she got there, but you don't need to leave just like you came. You need to be different when you leave. She met him and she touched him. And when she touched him, she was the only one in the crowd that the Bible tells us that touched Jesus. And when she touched him, she knew that she had touched him. She knew that she had the right medicine and the right doctor. Have you tried Dr. Jesus? Have you had your prescription filled at his pharmacy? Have you allowed him to come into your life? You need to be delivered. Oh, Lord, Jesus says she touched me. Oh, Lord, I don't know how it is when you touch him physically right there, but I know how it is when you touch him in your spirit. There's a relief that nothing else can give you. Thank you, Lord. When you touch Jesus in your spirit, everything gets to be all right. Might not be all right in the world, but when in my mind, everything's all right because I'm trusting in Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground are sinking sand. He's my deliverer. He will deliver me from whatever trouble in my way. Don't know where it come from. Didn't do anything, but it came my way. Lord, I will trust in the Lord. Trust in Jesus and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in him. He will deliver you in due time. But listen to me. I don't know about nobody else. Sisters, I've never had a baby, never given birth to a baby. But in due time, the birth will come. Brothers, you're going to give birth. You might not think you are, but you're going to go through something, and you're going to have birth pains. Oh, my Lord. And when you have the pain, when you deliver, you will feel a whole lot better. What you mean by it? When God takes all of your sin and deliver them out of your life. You have delivery pains because you love your sin and you want to stay in your sin. But when God touch you and you deliver, everything will be all right. Hell, Lord. And sometimes you become pregnant with something that God wants you to do. And you don't want to do it. You don't want to be delivered. You don't want to give the birth. But God will work with you. And then when it comes, what a relief it is. Bop, bop, biz, biz. You get delivered because you have delivered. You have passed it off. God have allowed you to deliver what he would have you to do. God will provide just what you need. He can help you to deliver whatever it is. Many of us surrender to Christ, but we do not touch him. We surrender, but we don't touch him. We don't reach up and grab him and hold on to him. Some of us touch him just like he's a hot stove. We want to take our hand back. You better grab him and hold on to him for dear life, because when you touch him, his virtue is going to come out of him and it comes into you. You got to be, he is your deliverer. You have to want him so he can deliver you. Point number four. A woman of declaration. That's in verse 47. Point three is in 45 and 46. Point number four is in 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid. I stopped right there for a long time the other day. When she saw that she was not hid. Some of us want to come to Christ and don't want nobody else to know it. We want to come and it be a $64,000 secret. We don't want nobody to know that we're saved. We are what they would call in the undercover Christian. Yeah, don't want nobody to know. But it said when she was hid, found out she was not hid, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. When God touch you, you touch him. He does not do it for it to be a secret. He does it so everybody else that know you and know that you to them, you are not saved, that they will know that you're saved. That's why he touched you. That's why he allowed you to touch him. So the world would know what he could do. And now listen to me. I don't care how saved you may think you are. There's somebody, that will doubt your salvation. Everybody in the world that you know don't think that you're saved. And I can give you a reason why we don't think that you're saved. We remember what you did, and we have amnesia with what I did. That's just the way we are. She made a declaration. She came to Christ. And I thought it was funny that the Bible didn't say this, but this is just the way I make myself understand it. This time, she couldn't come up behind him. You can't come behind Christ and make a confession to him about receiving him. What's the judge's name uptown? I forgot, was it Hawkins or somebody? Judge Ketchum? You can't sin unless you already locked up in jail, you make a sin warrant. You can't send your testimony to him. You got to go there and do it yourself. This is what she had to do. She came to him. And I know when you most people think when they first get saved everything is okay, but when you got to stand up in front of somebody else and tell them you're saved, if we could get a picture of most of them knees, they'd be knocking, that's why sometimes we'd be doing this or we'd be holding on the mic or we have our hands in our pocket or something. Because it's nervous and it's trembling time. Because you are telling the world, hey, I was not right. I was a sinner. And this is what she was telling. She came to him trembling and in fear. Because to her she had done something. And she knew the results of her touching the hem of his garment. Stanch means stayed away and it took something away. She touched him. And she confessed what the reason why she touched him. Oh, can you just hear her giving her testimony? I've been sick for at least 12 long years. Went to doctors over here and over there. They gave me this medicine and that medicine and this prescription and that prescription. I would take them all, and for a little while, it would seem like they were doing me okay. But after I ran out of the prescription, the sickness came back again. And no matter which doctor I went to, none of them never said that if I went back to the same doctor because of the same thing, they didn't say, this time I'm going to treat you for free. You got to pay them again and again and again. She made her testimony. She told us, said, I've been like this for 12 long years, and nobody seemed to be able to take my sickness away. And I heard about this man, this rabbi from Nazareth called Jesus. And I heard on the grapevine that he was coming through town. And I pressed my way, see if I could just get in the way. And she said, from everything I've heard, if he touch anybody, the sickness will be gone. And I guess she had in her mind, if he touch them, if I touch him, if it's in him, it have to be in his garment. And she said, I kept telling myself, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment. Seemed like sometime after I picked him out and found out which one of them was him, seemed like every time I got close to him, somebody else would get in the way. Oh, but I kept pressing my way and got to a place where he, in my mind, the way I made myself understand it, Jesus stopped to talk to somebody. And when he stopped to talk to somebody, she might have been right behind him. And she just got down. Might have been somebody between him and her. And she got down and she just touched the hem of his garment. See, brothers and sisters, there's something about when you lower yourself. You got to look up. You got to have a reason to get down on your knees, brothers and sisters. And I say this every now and then. I pray so much standing up. Every now and then when I'm by myself, I just get on my knees, because every time I get on my knees, I remember something that God have already done for me. And sometimes when you're standing up, it's difficult, because you look around and you get to looking at everybody else unless you got your eyes closed. But when I get down on my knees, and every now and then I remember those old deacons, y'all got to excuse me because God's been good to me this week. I get down on my knees and I just close my eyes and I just talk to my God. Because see, every now and then, he needs to stop being our God. He needs to just be mine all by myself. He doesn't belong to anybody else when I get in this position, because he's my God. And she got down and she touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched his hem of his garment, she said, I was immediately healed. See, when you decide to receive Jesus Christ, he doesn't wait for 6 hours or 12 hours to heal you or to give you salvation. It's immediately when you surrender yourself to God. He takes you in right then and there. Don't have to wait for the preacher. You don't have to wait for the deacon. You just receive Jesus Christ in your life, and he will provide just what you need. But every now and then, you need to make the declaration that, Lord, I'm yours. Will you thank you for saving my soul? I know that I haven't always done right, but I'm trying to do the best that I can. Keep teaching me, Lord. Keep me regulated the way you would need me to be regulated. I might get off task, but I know you're not going to leave me, nor you're going to forsake me. Trouble may come my way, but when trouble come my way, I know where to go. I come to the Lord God Almighty. Not that he's not where I am. He knows right where I am. I'm never out of his sight, because we heard earlier, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So therefore, I can't go anywhere that he's not there. Even when I'm not doing right, he's there as well. He sees and he knows. But we have to understand that we got to tell him, and we need to, after we touch Jesus, we need to go and touch somebody else. I'm glad you asked. You can touch them by telling them what God have already done for you, how he brought you, what he taken away from you, the sins that he's taken out of your life, the trouble that he's taken out of your life. And just like he takes sin out of your life, there's some people he need to take out of your life. There's some places he need to take out of your life. There's some things you do that he needs to take out of your life. all of it's not with you, but you got to make up your mind. You got to make a decision that you're going to touch the hem of his garment. See, sometimes we want to do everything the way we want to do it. Everything's not going to be done the way that you want to do it, because God got his rules and they're already set. It's right here in his word, and you have to come in under them and obey him. You can touch the hem of his garment, and you can allow him to come into your life, but he's going to change you. You won't change God. You will see him in a different light, but he'll still be God. He won't change. He's unchangeable, but he can change me. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We can touch others because he have touched us and allowed us to touch him. Touch somebody. Tell somebody about the saving grace of Jesus the Christ. If you don't tell somebody, there's somebody that's not going to make it in, because you are the one that's supposed to tell them about this God that we serve. You got to be that person that declares and that are determined and that are delivered, and you make a decision to serve this God. You can touch the hem of his garment. You know, and I think weird sometimes. I was thinking about a garment like they wore, and I said, Jesus, as holy as he is, I said, the garment that he had on, if the virtue, he felt the virtue that went out the hem of his garment, and the hem was this thick, in my mind now, y'all, my mind, this, all of this hem was filled with the Holy Spirit, with healing power. And I said to me, if she would have touched it up here, it might not have had as much healing power as it did down here, because to me, I was thinking in terms of living water, and water has a tendency to go downhill, and this is as far as it could go, and all of it gathered down here. If you hang a garment like this up and it's wet all the way through, the tip of it, the hem of it down here going to be wetter than this part up here, because the water's going to drip down. And I said, all she had to do down there, that hem with all that Holy Spirit and that virtue, would just touch it. She didn't have to hold it. That's why the other people around, to me, didn't see her when she touched it, because she just touched it and hurried and got away from it. But because Jesus was so in tune with the Spirit, he knew that he had been touched. He knew that he had been touched. Deacon Westbrook knew I didn't touch him, because he said, son, you didn't touch me. And he was right. He was right. I didn't touch him. I didn't. And so my point is that when we touch Jesus, everybody else around you do not have to know that you have touched him. Not then and there, but before it's over. Yeah. Uh-huh. You can keep it a secret for a little while. But because of the working of the Holy Spirit, you will tell somebody. She came and she confessed and told them why she had touched him. Brothers and sisters, and Jesus in this episode was on his way someplace. He was on his way heading to a place that we call Calvary. On his way to save a wretch like me. On his way to defy Satan and all of his imps. The devil thinks that he got you right now if you're in sin. But all you got to do is surrender your life to Christ. Jesus surrendered and did the will of the Father by going to the cross. You remember in chapter 17 of John, he said, Father, if there's any other way, other than going through this, let me go another way. But there was no other way. But then he turned around and said, not my will, but thy will be done. And because he said that, he went to the cross for a wretch like me. He went to the cross, stayed there. The two thieves on the cross, one of them said, come down and save yourself and save us too. But oh, there was one that said, save me. And Jesus promised him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I'm through. But let me tell you my story. They tell the story of all the apostles and the patriarchs all in heaven, walking around in the bosom of Abraham. And up walked this old scraggly looking man. And all the others looked at him and said, the story goes, said Peter said to John, said, you know him? He said, no, I don't know him. They all went around. Nobody knew him. And they finally got up enough nerve to go over and talk to him. Said, who are you? He said, I'm the man that was on the cross dying with Jesus. And I asked him to remember me when he came into his kingdom. And he told me, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he said, the next thing I knew, I was here walking around with all of y'all. Said, who are you? They told him who they were. And he said, okay. Said, I remember hearing something about you. Said, but do you know that Jesus died for those of us that are sinners in the world? Said, they crucified him. I was crucified the same day he was. But he saved me. I said, well, I thought you said he said he was. Said, but he told me this day. Brothers and sisters, and there again, it shows you the power that's in the Word of God. Yes, this man, none of the patriarchs or the apostles knew. But Jesus knew him. And it's the same way with you. A lot of people that you know, they might not believe you're saved. You just know what Jesus says. He says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. We'll extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, which by chance happened to be named Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church. Will you come to Christ today and allow Christ to save your soul? If you come to Christ, he will take you and he will in no wise turn you away. Nobody else might not believe that you're saved, but if you confess your sins to Christ, he will forgive you of your sin. But you got to come. You got to come. You must come to him and confess your sin. I can't save you, but I can lead you to the one that can. Christ can save you, and he will save you. He's already paid the bill for your sin. Will you come? Will you come? Come to Christ today. Don't put off today what you can do until tomorrow. Do it today. Do it while you have time. Don't wait till you get on your sick bed. Come now. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.